This is the Tom Likas Show.
You're a goddamn genius. You are a goddamn genius.
And now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
L-I-V-I-S.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. You can hear us on our brand new free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of our program on another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And in this bonus hour, we are joined in studio by family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, good to see you.
Hey, great to be here, Tom.
What's going on?
Not much. I want to talk about some of these things you were talking about with these police shootings and whatnot, but I think I'm going to save it for next week, okay? Because that'll be criminal law and tonight's family law.
Right.
I've got some good family law stuff, of course.
Of course.
You know, Tom, this is something you talked about in the past a few times, how I think this is particularly when you were really raking it in at the old radio station.
Yeah.
That, you know, generally speaking, women want to be with a guy that makes more than they do.
Right.
I mean, that's just a fact.
And it doesn't matter what income level we're talking about.
Right.
If she makes $25,000 a year, she wants to be the guy who makes $30,000.
That's right.
If she makes $1 million a year, she wants to be the guy who makes $2 million a year.
I heard this even in the cases of some celebrity couples where they were making, you know, tens of millions, but the woman was making more or whatever.
Right.
And that is a surefire way to destroy a relationship. You know, whatever the theory is and whatever we're hearing, this tragically goes back to one of your old 101 principles, which is that, you know, 99% of what women say is bullshit. And that's not a joke. You know, you can't take what women tell you too seriously because a lot of it is built into nonsense that a lot of things that they believe that they were indoctrinated to believe, things that they were told, things that they heard, you know, at these feminist consciousness raising meetings or whatever. And what I've found recently is that there are a lot of guys, it's not just occasional, there are a lot of guys who have not gotten their act together personally in their own careers or whatever. Sometimes they call this, you know, failure to launch, where a guy, like, you know, lives with his parents in his 30s or whatever. But there's a lot of guys that get married, and somewhere along the line, they have a serious conversation with the woman, or something that just they kind of fall into, where that somehow they're going to stay home with the kids, or that they have a part-time job or something like that, and the woman is the one who's, you know, really making bank and taking care of the family expenses. And I get guys that call me all the time that tell me, you know, they're married and the wife wants a divorce. They can't understand why. And the first thing they tell me is that they haven't worked in 6 years or they haven't worked in 10 years. And I say, well, that's crazy. Of course she wants a divorce. And they say, no. We agreed to this. This is something that she and I discussed. Well, you may, let's say, think that she agreed to this, and she may actually have told you, you know, in all sincerity, right to the face, that it's not a problem, and don't worry, honey, and I love you, and all that stuff. But the truth of the matter is it goes against biology. I mean, fundamentally, a woman is wanting to be protected. She wants to feel secure. She wants to have a man who's, first of all, you know, bigger than her, stronger than her, and he's going to defend her and protect her. And then obviously follows, you know, to defend and protect any children that they may have. And these are very basic biological things. And when you say how, oh, you know, that's all, you know, the patriarchy and that's old-fashioned bullshit and that doesn't apply anymore, that's not true. The women I have seen many cases, including like in my own family, where a woman will have been with a very domineering guy or even married to a domineering guy who was a very high achiever, and then they get a divorce, and then she says, you know, that was kind of exhausting, and he made me do things I didn't agree with, and blah, blah, blah. And what a woman will do the second time around is she'll get involved with a girly guy who's allowing her to make all the decisions and allowing her to be more domineering, and she will really like that for a while. And she'll say, you know, thank God I'm the boss. He lets me do whatever I want. My ex-husband was so crazy and, you know, was telling me what to do, which I didn't like. And they kind of fall into that, you know, kind of feminism idea that the woman is the equal or even the superior. And what ends up happening over time is that they really grow to resent that guy. The guy who's weak, who doesn't make a good salary, makes less than they do, or is not working at all, perhaps. And that he's, you know, some kind of, you know, a starving artist, or he's this entrepreneur who hasn't gotten his business off the ground yet, or he's, you know, the house husband or whatever, taking care of the kids or whatever. Ultimately, the woman grows to hate him. And what the women say to me when I have female clients in this situation is they literally say, you know, what do I have him for? You know, he doesn't make anything. I'm paying for dick, you know. That's one thing yeah. That women don't want to do.
Right. Women don't want to pay for anything.
You said women are the cheapest creatures in the world.
That's right.
No doubt about it.
Yep.
But when the woman is in the position that she's paying essentially for dick, she goes cross-eyed with anger. What do you say, Tom? I mean, that's the ultimate, you know?
Right.
No, it's something that a woman does not equate with. Women have the idea, in spite of all the BS you've heard, that, you know, you're supposed to pull out the chair for them, and they're supposed to get pampered, and they're supposed to be taken care of and protected and cherished and all the other bullshit. And when a woman finds herself in the position that she's essentially paying for it and paying her husband and supporting him, and, you know, he's like a grown-up teenager, essentially, where she comes home and he's playing the video on the Xbox or whatever, women are not going to tolerate that. And I'm amazed how long they do, because I have cases where the guy was doing this nonsense for, you know, 5 years, 10 years, but it catches up. And ultimately the woman, you know, wants to divorce him, and she wants it very bad. She's furiously angry. She ends up sometimes having to pay him alimony, which just drives them out of their minds. But what is impressive to me is how many guys have lost that thread of masculinity. You know, we definitely are facing now, you know, the first generation of guys to be raised by single mothers, you know, and that was true in certain, you know, ethnic communities more so and less so, but now it's, you know, over time grown more and more typical and universal. You see, and I've talked about this in various shows, about how women actually very systematically and with real focus will push the guy out, where she will, you know, have a child with a guy and then immediately start to hate him and resent him, and then gradually over time, and not a lot of time, get him out of the family and get the kid, you know, essentially in her own custody and cut the father off and so forth. But the greater effect of that is, you know, remarkable. I think that, you know, Tom, you and I sometimes get insulted. We get called misogynists or whatever. But I really believe, you know, that people are supposed to, you know, support themselves. And I say this about women. It makes me sad when you see how women ultimately, you know, revere Kim Kardashian because, you know, it doesn't seem that she has to work, you know, and they admire that. They want to be able to have nice things and to have a man buy it for them or whatever. But to be fair to both sides, I'm incredibly amazed at how many guys today don't have their acts together and don't have a real career going. And, you know, guys that have kids, guys that are married, and they're content to just say, well, I can't find a job, I don't know. Blah, blah, my wife pays the bills. And I just say to them, like, seriously, how long do you think that's going to last? I mean, are you out of your freaking mind? That's crazy. I talked to a number of guys. I mean, this is kind of strange too. You know, you figure someone can't find a job, they don't have any skills or whatever. I've talked to guys that have good educations, that are you know, trained to be lawyers or accountants or, you know, whatever, teachers, and they just don't have any of the get up and go. You know, they just don't have any of that sense of, you know, pushing themselves at all. And they just lazy. They just say, "Oh, I've been looking." People say that. I think that's really weird. I've heard that in court a lot. The judge will say, "You know, do you have a job?" And they'll say this kind of this mysterious thing, like searching for Jesus. You know, "Oh, I've been looking for a job." And you go, "What do you mean looking? What the fuck does that mean?" "I've been looking for 6 years." You know, it's like trying to find the Holy Grail. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, you try to make what you're worth, and it makes people sad to be, you know, underemployed or to have a part-time job or a job that, you know, you perceive, you know, you could do better. It's not fair. It's not, you know, to your full potential. I totally relate to that. I understand that idea. But on the other hand, when you talk about someone who, you know, couldn't be bothered and doesn't make an effort and is talking about it in the abstract, you know, "I'm looking for a job," that's sad. That's really wrong. And it's very, very wrong in these relationships where one side, you know, the particularly like I'm talking about the guy, isn't, you know, kind of holding up his side. And I'm very surprised when I talk to people how many people will go for the religious stuff. They'll say, "Well, you know, we're religious, we're Catholic, we're not going to get divorced, or my wife doesn't believe in divorce, or whatever, you know, we're soulmates, we're not going to get divorced." And the answer is, you know, I'm sorry to say this to you, pal, but you too. And there are a lot of women out there in particular who will tolerate it for a long time, or they'll get with a guy who screws up and doesn't make an effort and doesn't get a job, and it will go on for years and years. And they may be motivated by a strong religious belief not to get divorced, or a desire not to get divorced, or to stay together for the kids. But whatever the story is, over time, that will wear down. And even your little school girl, whatever, mother, school teacher, she will cheat on you and she will want a divorce. She's not going to put up with it. It's something that women are very instinctively connected to. And just because you're a pussy and you grew up with a single mother and you don't understand the man's role, and you seriously believe in all the most extreme kind of feminist doctrine that, you know, men and women are exactly equal and it's no problem and a woman can support the family and the man can raise the kids and blah, blah, the reality is if you put yourself into that position, you're going to get screwed. And I've had a couple of calls in the past few weeks where the wife wants a divorce. The guy doesn't have a dime. She was in control of all the family money. She had it all in her name, and she literally was giving him an allowance, and now she has cut it off. And he's a man in his 30s or 40s who now has literally zero money, no access to any kind of credit cards or any kind of anything, and she's putting the screws to him that he's got to get his things and get the hell out of the house, and she never wants to see him again. And he doesn't have any ability to defend himself or protect himself. He doesn't have any kind of career to fall back on. He doesn't have any job prospects. And he's literally going to be the homeless guy over at the gas station or at the train station. And that's absolutely unbelievable that you could go from being fairly middle class to that. And, you know, you can't depend on another person. You know, there's a great line from a song, which is, you know, maybe you have a trust fund or maybe you have a wealthy spouse, but you never know when either one of those is going to run out. And that's not a joke. And it's amazing to me that people don't recognize this, and especially guys. And we talk about, you know, the brotherhood, and we criticize women. But today I've got to criticize guys, okay? If you're not supporting yourself, if you don't know how to support yourself, then you're not an adult. And if you're going to be in this position where you're depending on the woman, she is going to come over a very reasonable amount of time to hate you and resent you, and she eventually is going to get rid of you. And if you're completely unprepared for that day, you're going to be in for the surprise of your life. So wake up.
Exactly. My God. They don't like you making less money than they do. They're not looking for a house husband.
You got to hear them say it, Tom. When I represent the woman, they're so furious. And that asshole makes less money than me. And I'll throw it in. I'll say, well, come on, these are modern times, you know. What do you care? Oh, you don't think I care? Oh, forget it.
Oh,
all of a sudden, she's not a feminist anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, let's take a break here. We're going to come back with Adam Sachs. Adam, of course, here as family law attorney, Adam Sachs, and here to answer legal questions about divorce, separation, child support, child custody, prenups, postnups, all of it. All right, community property, restraining orders, my favorite.
Here's gotta love the restraining orders.
I love them. It shows you what love really is all about.
What love really leads to.
That's right. That's where it goes. So if you got questions, here you've got free legal advice, and all you have to do is dial this number right now. 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's the number. 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app. Now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. Family law attorney Adam Sachs answering your legal questions for free at 901-3000-TOM. That's our number, 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-8. 66. By the way, get your tickets to our third annual holiday party from hell. This year, for the first time, the party comes to Orange County at the Juke Joint in Anaheim. Pool tables, electronic dartboard, $5 craft beers, reasonably priced cocktails, and of course, your fellow listeners of P1s from all over America will be gathering on Thursday night, December 10th from 8 p.m. until we're done. It's our last chance of the year to bring in the revenue we need to continue our 24/7 stream into 2016. And tickets are flying out the door, so get them right now by going to holidaypartyfromhell.com or letmein.party. Okay, that's holidaypartyfromhell.com. And don't forget, there'll be giveaways all night, including pool cues, darts, dart boards, and more from our friends at Triangle Billiards. Check them out at TriangleBilliards.com. 901-3000-TOM. That is our telephone number. Adam, what happens to your business, family law business, this time of year? Does it spike or do people wait until after the first of the year?
Well, there's definitely crises that happen now. So we have people that are trying to take the kids away for Christmas vacation, so I have to like run into court to get a court order or whatever because they're fighting over it. But there is a very interesting lull. And the way it works, I think, is this kind of Thanksgiving to New Year's. What happens is a lot of women, I think, especially because they're the ones who start most divorces, you know, more than 80%. I think a lot of women are pissed off and unhappy, and they're kind of floating around waiting for the right moment. And then what happens is Thanksgiving rolls around. And so they say, I've got to get through Thanksgiving, and I've got to get through Christmas. And then when they make their New Year's resolution, you know, for the new year, they start talking about, now I'm going to file. And most family law attorneys and divorce attorneys get bombarded with business in January. That's like the big push.
Right.
Because all these women that had their resolution, that had a shitty holiday, that can't take it anymore, they realize it during the holiday. But there's this break of time between like Thanksgiving and Christmas where it slows down because I think, like I said, they're just sort of saying, you know, I just got to push it through Christmas, you know? A lot of the
also right on time for most women to go back to the gym right after New Year's Day.
Absolutely. Start looking
better.
It all
times out perfectly. You got to... Yeah, get ready for the next sucker.
It's amazing that a woman won't do it for her husband. But once he's gone, she starts working out and looking
better
for the next loser.
That's what they do.
There's no doubt about it. And there's definitely a connection. You see, for example, there's a lot of really dumb guys where the wife will come and say to the husband, hey, honey, I really want to get a boob job, you know?
Right.
And the husband figures, wow, isn't this great, you know? She wants, you know, to look good for me, and she wants to look attractive for me, and so she wants, you know, for, you know, to get this boob job, and the guy actually will pay for it. And that's like what you talk about, Tom. That's typically the last exit before toll.
Right.
The wife gets the boob job. She feels more confident, and she gets rid of the husband.
Well, she starts getting all his attention that she hasn't been getting.
Hell yeah.
And some other guy is going to be touching those boobs once you pay for it.
Damn right. And if you think that you're the idiot paying for it, you know, that she's going to waste it on you, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Now, I never pay for a boob job, guys. Always, always say, honey, I married you because I love you the way you are.
Just the way you are.
And that's how you get rid of
you
that
sing that,
conversation.
Sing that Billy Joel song, you know?
I would do that.
I love you just the way you are.
No. I'm going to leave today if you do that. No.
Oh, no, it's so true. This is a terrible thing, but there's absolutely no question about it at all. I mean, when you talk about the connection that people have in terms of their marriages and so forth, you know, a compliment from you as her husband means absolutely nothing, you know. The only way that she's going to feel good about anything is from a stranger, you know. That's the thing, you know, that counts. And so that's, you know, her big way of getting more attention. But there definitely is this pre-holiday thing where the woman is rationalizing to herself and even saying, like, you know, just for the sake of the children or whatever, she's going to, you know, get through Christmas and kind of save it for January. What women tend to say to me, you know, once they've made the decision, and then I meet them after the new year, and they tell me, you know, I held on as long as I could, you know, and I tried and tried, but in the end, I can't take another minute of that prick.
Yeah.
So much for love.
Because you didn't do it for the prick, you did it for the kids.
No, I know. She's getting all her dreams coming true. But if you look at the holiday pictures and Thanksgiving pictures, you see all these big smiles, you know?
Right.
And everyone's having such a good time, and it was, you know, such close family times. But what was actually going on in her brain was actually quite financial. Where she was, you know, putting money aside and organizing and getting ready to get rid of you.
Right.
There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. Also draining your bank account to all that Christmas shopping.
Naturally. The realities that people have today are very, very different. And, you know, when guys, especially kind of old school guys, you know, talk about, you know, that they want a family, a relationship like their grandparents had, you know, I mean, that's the joke. That's the reality. Your grandmother had a very, very different life, and she saw things very, very differently. Contextually speaking, she did not have 10 Facebook accounts and emails and Twitter and... She was not looking for it. She was not lonely at the house and trying to get some rendezvous with some guy in the neighborhood. You know, one of the funny things about the internet thing, what's that, Tinder, Tom?
Yeah.
Tinder, you know, because you have GPS on your phone, Tinder actually finds people that are close by.
Right.
Within your immediate area.
That's right.
So there's grandma sitting in, like, you know, suburban Long Island or whatever.
Sun City, Seizure Village, one of those places.
So she's got to find guys that are, you know, less than 5 or 10 miles away, you know. What's the use of finding someone who's, you know, all the way in Canada? What's the point? So this is something that really happens, you know. It's very, very critical. And, you know, you see how they think. You see how their strategy is today. A woman is always, always looking for a better deal, looking for someone that she can trade up to. And, you know, she may love you, and I think she might be sincere. But, you know, if she gets a call on Facebook that the prom king that she went to the prom with, you know, 20 years ago in high school is in town, there is no way that she is not going to follow up with him and go meet him at his hotel. There's just no way. She's going to see him. And she will tell herself that nothing's going to happen. I heard a funny one, Tom. There's sort of a self-regulating thing that women do where a woman will tell herself, I don't want anything to happen. And so when she goes to meet the guy, she'll wear granny panties, or she won't shave her legs, because she's kind of ensuring that she won't get into bed with the guy because she doesn't look good, or she's got these weird underwear on. And as a practical reality, what ends up happening instead is that she has to take the panties off even faster.
Right?
Because they're ugly panties.
Exactly.
So she was using it as a device to keep herself faithful, and it actually did just the opposite.
Right. No, I know. I've seen this. I have seen it.
You gotta love it.
Absolutely. All right, so there's people who are preparing for after the holidays to drop the bombshell. I have to believe that although people are waiting through the holidays, I have to believe there are people who have a date, January 2nd, January 3rd, January 4th, ready to drop those papers somewhere.
Listen, I mean, I have talked to people that have been planning it for years, you know. This is something that happens, you know. There are women that I have talked to that pull out a loose leaf book, and they show me, and they say to me, I've got here all the bank accounts, and here I've got all the statements, and I've got, and you go, what the hell is this? And they actually have this whole big archive that they've been accumulating for years to be able to be in the strongest possible position in order to get the divorce and to humiliate the guy.
Right.
And, you know, to know where all the bodies are buried and, you know, where you have everything that you need in terms of the secret accounts or the accounts that the husband thinks the wife doesn't know. It is amazing, really amazing, when I talk to women. And, you know, a lot of guys will have this idea and say, you know, you have this wife of mine. She's not very sophisticated financially. She doesn't really understand money. You know what? That is the biggest bunch of BS in the whole world. These women are so sophisticated when it comes to their own interests. And when they start getting divorced, they whip out this book and they show me the husband has this corporation and that corporation and this account and that account, and they dig it all up. They find whatever they need to find. There's no doubt about it.
Well, sometimes, and I know because I've been this guy, sometimes they use the next guy they're dating. I had a chick one time who was breaking up with her husband, but hadn't broken up with him yet. And so she said, come meet me. I want to show you some stuff. I want you to help me with this. And so I understand this woman is still married. The husband is still at home. He's still checking her cell phone bill to see who she's talking to and stuff. So this woman meets me, and she's got a fucking portfolio of material.
Oh, God.
And she says, I don't know what any of this stuff is. So she,
there you go.
She digs into this portfolio, and what's in there? Brokerage statements.
Oh, yeah.
Statements with stock purchases and sales, mutual fund purchases, bonds, all of it. And she can't read the statements. And she's trying to figure out, like, what is current and what he actually has today and wanted me to tell her.
Well, it's nice that she's enlisting you, right? You always say that on the show where you say, you know, you won't understand this, but ask your boyfriend to explain it.
Right.
So she's going to you, Tom. You should be very honored.
Well,
you know,
as long as I was getting richly rewarded, I was willing to kick in.
The problem is that if you ever got involved with her,
but that's the point.
You're going to be the next person.
That's how, you see, that's why you have to have my rules, Adam. You don't get involved.
Of course.
You don't get involved. Yeah, you let her say all this shit, like the chick I dated one time who talked about her ex-boyfriend and called him Mr. Wonderful.
Oh, God.
Mr. Wonderful. Actually put his name on the calendar, like when his birthday was. Mr. Wonderful's birthday.
Mr. Wonderful,
she's calling him Mr. And she was being sarcastic.
Yes.
But, you know, the minute she's going to leave me, that's the same thing she's going to do to me.
Well, it's fascinating to me that guys don't recognize this. When I talk to guys all the time and they talk to me about, you know, this prick that she's talking about, the ex-boyfriend, we got to get even with him and deal with this. And I say, you know, don't you realize that someday when the luster has worn off of your relationship, that's going to be you, you know? It's nice that we're so egotistical that we think, you know, no, we're the exception, and, you know, she and I have a special love that would never have that happen. But that's not true. That's not how it works at all. And if she's doing it to him, I mean, the big one, we talked about restraining orders. I see this with restraining order cases very often, is the new boyfriend comes and testifies against the old boyfriend, that he was coming by the house or he was bothering her at work or whatever. And again, you know, this is something that she is going to do to you. I don't know how people don't recognize that. It's so obvious. And I think that relates back to what I was mentioning at the beginning of the show, which are these guys that never had a father, that don't understand these things. I mean, these are one of the things I think that you learn from your dad. Sportsmanship, you know, your dad takes you to the football game and tries to show you, you know, even if the teams are playing against each other, they shake hands, you know. they're trying to do things in a decent way. And when you talk about soldiers, oh my God, soldiers get screwed the worst. And one of that, one of those reasons, I think, is because, you know, they learn, you know, duty and honor and country. And these are concepts that do not, I think, appeal very well to women. If you see the way women treat each other, they're very, very mean, very, very cruel. They show this girls in high school and so forth being very, very cruel to each other and doing horrible things to each other. And this is something that's considered perfectly normal and ordinary. But then, you know, when you're the guy and she's coming to you and she's saying, I want to put the screws to my ex-boyfriend, you should tell her not to. You should say to her, I'm not going to get involved in that. That's
only
nonsense.
Only if your plan is to get involved. If your plan is to get her to romance the bone a little bit and then get the hell out of there, you know, what do you care? Not your problem.
Well,
pros before hoes, but...
When you have this woman saying this thing, yep. Mr. Wonderful, I mean, come on, Tom, that should have been a hint and a half.
It was a hint and a half. And then she got the royal boot soon after that.
All right, there you go.
That was it?
That's the spirit.
I couldn't get her off me. Yeah. Nothing women hate more than when you give them the boot. That even if they are going to give you the boot someday, when you give them the boot, they flip.
Yeah, I think it really goes to, you'll remember the comedian Sam Kinison.
Yeah.
Kinison said that you should never, ever dump a woman because then she's going to be crazy and she's going to stalk you and she's going to do all this crazy stuff. The thing to do is to stop showering, to do a lot of drugs, to act really crazy, and to demand only anal sex. And after a couple of days, she will dump you.
Right.
And she'll feel guilty.
That's if you're living with her.
Well, that's what I meant.
Which you shouldn't do.
Well,
but if you are living with her, yeah, that, absolutely that's what you do.
Right.
Or you can count on women to nag you. You can count on it. They're going to do that. They feel that's just one of the rights of being with you. And so what you simply start doing is you start going on strike. No, I'm not taking the garbage out. I am going to come home, and every time I come home, yes, I'm going out and have a few beers with the boys. Who knows? I'm going to a strip club tonight.
Yes, I am.
Just keep doing it. You just keep doing it.
And then what happens? She can't take it anymore?
They give up. Yeah, they give up.
Right, 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 right.
But, honey, I love you.
Sweetie.
Oh,
why are you acting this way?
I can't believe you want to leave.
Well, that's what he was talking about. That was Kinison's thing. That, you know, ultimately she feels guilty because she has to leave you, and she feels like, you know, you're at a point that you really need her, but she has no ability to hang in there for you.
Right.
So there you go.
Right. I knew Sam, and
really
saw him go through some of that stuff. I did.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Well, there you go.
Yep. I'll take a break. We'll come back. Adam Sachs is here. If you have legal questions for Adam, this is our last segment together. This is your last chance for this particular episode of our bonus hour with family law attorney Adam Sachs. If you've got a question about divorce or anything relating to divorce, here's your phone number. 901-3000-TOM. That's our number. 901-3000-TOM. Okay? We're not staying late, so get your call in now. 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app. Now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom.
Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show. Bonus hour. The family law attorney, Adam Sachs. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free. 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me an email, which I read and answer personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Now, before I let you out of here, I've been seeing more and more of these stories.
Uh-oh.
These stories about, you know, obviously there's a billion stories nowadays about the 24-year-old teacher who gets it on with the 14-year-old student.
Oh, dear.
And, you know, the guys think they're the luckiest guys on earth until the teacher gets knocked up.
Ooh.
And we have seen many of these stories where these teachers are, you know, they are rapists by definition, by law in most of these states. And yet they actually have the gall to demand child support, which essentially is confessing to a crime.
Yes, that's true.
Which is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Maybe you just want to have that baby in secret if you insist on having the baby, but demanding child support. Now, how can we have a law set up in such a way that a rape victim can be dinged for child support?
Well, you know, we have a really, really basic thing in our world, in our thinking, in our biology, that, you know, women are flowers and meant to be protected, and they're the weaker sex. It shows in these cases. I remember something like this happened in my high school, and it was a male teacher who wasn't that old. He was in his, like, mid-20s, and he got involved with a 16-year-old, girl in one of his classes. And, you know, they just put the screws to those guys. Those guys get fucked. I mean, and they say, oh, my God, it's reprehensible. And, you know, it's this whole thing they can't even believe, you know. But, you know, when you look at the opposite, and they talk about this connection we have where now we have these predatory female teachers, you know, they've even shown these cases with a woman in the neighborhood screws her son's friends, you know. But we have these women that are, you know, some of them are real attractive, and they get involved with a 14-year-old student or even more than one, and the perception is still very much said. You know, the opposite, you know, that this is something that's, you know, great for the kid, you know, and these are things that the kid is lucky, you know, he got to screw this much older woman, but it's not fair to him. It's not something that he was probably ready for or prepared for. And, you know, it's not appropriate for a child to get involved with an adult, obviously, for many reasons. But what you're talking about, which is absolutely off the charts unbelievable, is that in many instances, the teacher or the older woman gets pregnant, and the child support laws are totally fucking insane, that she turns around and sues him for child support, and he's all of, you know, 13 years old or whatever, and he gets a judgment against him. And, you know, the court doesn't look at the law in terms of how old he is. He's got a child. He has to support the child. And, you know, I don't know what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to quit junior high school and get a job to support his growing family. But it just shows you how the law has become very perverted and confused and doesn't account for essentially reality.
Well, it's like a story I've seen more than once recently about women who are rape victims. They are raped. And they say, it's against my religion to have an abortion,
right,
so I'm going to have the baby. And then when they have the baby, the rapist comes forth and demands visitation.
Yes.
Or even child support.
That's right. I don't know about child support. That's pretty unbelievable. But certainly there have been cases where the rapist technically is the father of the kid. I mean, he is. You could do a DNA test. And if he is the father of the kid, he wants visitation. Technically, that's appropriate.
Right, but wait a minute.
Crazy as it is,
wait a minute. If you're getting a divorce and you are a bad parent, you might not get to see that kid.
Well, it depends.
No, it's rare, but come on. If daddy is daddy is a convicted rapist, how can he have any rights at all?
Well, there's
don't the rights of the kid come first?
There's this tennis star, well, theoretically, there's a tennis star, Boris Becker, who was a big champion years ago. And this woman was a complete setup. Some Russian woman gave him a blowjob at a party, spit the results into a plastic bag, which was put into a centrifuge to clean and get rid of the saliva or whatever. And they used it to impregnate her. And then she sued him for support quite successfully. And you know that, Tom. We talked about that where the woman takes the used-up condom out of the garbage or whatever and uses it to impregnate herself. And here, you know, genetically the child would be yours, and you even may not have had an act of sex if it was just oral, or you may have used protection, and she actually deliberately impregnated herself. But that whole story and the background of what happened is not important. It doesn't matter. Kid is genetically yours, you're on the hook. And people, you know, always are telling me stories about how, you know, we agreed and she promised me she wouldn't come after me for child support, and I'm going to sign away my parental rights. And guys come up with all kinds of things to try to convince themselves that they're going to be okay. But in a lot of ways, the law is blind and stupid and doesn't look at reality very often. And a lot of times things are possible that make no sense, like, you know, having a 13-year-old pay child support. As long as he is the biological father and the law says that he has to pay child support, there can be an order made. And that's the same with giving visitation to a rapist. A woman will sit there and say, "You've got to be kidding me. How could I have to give visitation to a rapist? That's insane." But the reality is that the law does not necessarily have all these exceptions carved off, and so you can have real injustices happen. That's how come people, there was a guy, for example, who had two strikes, and then he stole a slice of pizza. And that was his third strike, and he got life in prison. Remember that?
Jerry Williams was his name.
There you go.
Dean, look it up.
So Mr. Williams, assuming Tom is correct, and I'm sure he is, got life in prison for stealing pizza. I mean, that's stupid. But you see how the law does not necessarily have that kind of flexibility. That's why, in all seriousness, I think in my heart of hearts, I'm still a libertarian like you, Tom, with a lowercase L, that I don't believe that the government has all the solutions to our problems. And the government tends to actually screw up everything it touches. And the government should really be as limited as possible and shouldn't get involved in this stuff. You talk about gay marriage and all that. I don't think the government should be doing marriage. I don't know why government is in the marriage business. It really shouldn't be. And all these other factors are also true. The government has not done anything very effective at all in any area that it has ever gotten involved in. And, you know, certainly it's best being limited.
All right, once again, Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
You can give me a call at 800-340-7320. Check my website, www.adamlawyer.com, and send me an email, which I will answer personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Dean, what was the name of the guy with the three strikes law? What was that guy's name?
Jerry Dwayne Williams, and he took a slice of pizza from a group of children near the Redondo Beach Pier.
Ooh.
Done.
There you go.
And what, he got life in
prison?
Sentenced
him to 25 to life.
Unbelievable. And Tom knew his name.
Tom knew it.
Yep. What year is that from, Dino?
It's
give me
sickening.
A break.
The story I'm looking at is February 10th, 2010. So
2010.
No, but that didn't happen.
Oh, that's just when the story's out. Yeah.
No, that happened.
Before.
I think closer to the late 90s.
Yeah.
But the fact that Tom didn't have a chance.
You're a machine, Tom. There's no doubt about it.
It's fucking weird, man.
I couldn't type it fast enough. I have to tell the fans, okay? I've been working with Tom for years now, and I must say there's something going on. There's more than what we see.
if you know what he means.
No, I mean, the thing that you do with numbers, Tom, yeah. Right, you can say the wrong answer, but it'll still be the same number of digits or whatever.
Well, I see words as numbers of characters.
He did it in 1994.
94, there you go.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a touch of autism, Tom.
Am I on the spectrum, you think?
I don't know. I would say Asperger syndrome, if anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Some do call me Rain Man. They do.
A lot do.
I know.
God.
All right, so if you missed any part of Adam's appearance, don't forget, there's always another bonus hour, and you can catch Adam live and ask your legal questions. Coming up on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Coast to coast. Around the world. world and across the universe. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Tweedledum and Tweedledumber.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer.
Yay.
Beer Magazine. You thought the video of Charlie Sheen blowing a dude was bad. Turns out there's like five of them now. According to Radar,
every day
there's full-blown, hardcore gay sex. There's tranny sex. There's
full-blown, too.
Full-blown.
Every day I say the same thing to Tom. I don't think it could get any crazier.
I think Charlie's been trying to pay people off so these things don't surface, but it's the jig is up.
Oh,
friend.
My God. Wait till he goes home for Thanksgiving. How does he sit across from Martin?
Right. Yeah, this changes. This really changes everything.
Hey, Dad, I got to tell you, this dude, he had a great color of lipstick on. Just had to fuck him.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy. Man, oh man, what the hell happened?
What is your friend thinking?
And you're, you know, how do you let somebody record this shit, you know?
What is he nuts? Yeah. He's got nuts all over the place, this fucking guy.
They're saying he probably plopped down over $10 million trying to silence this shit.
That's why he had to keep, you know, you'd figure a guy like that, you could actually do a few TV shows and then bow out, but he kept going for bigger and bigger money. It's fine out. It's to help fuel the stuff he's into, because the stuff he's into is... You know, obviously, if he's getting shaken down, he's got to pay a lot of money for the stuff he likes to do. But this whole movie stuff is unbelievable.
Right. I know.
I don't know what a Hollywood gadfly is, a gay gadfly.
I don't know what a gay Hollywood gadfly is.
Apparently, our friend had a nice run with a gay Hollywood gadfly.
Yes.
And it basically says that they enjoyed some hardcore sex together. Mm.
You know what a gadfly is?
Then there was the tranny. Then there was a fourth tape in a menage a trois with a different dude, and his ex-wife, Brooke Mueller, was in that one.
Remember Brooke went on this awesome tangent where she was, like, trying to maybe pawn off an expensive watch at a pawn shop and stuff, wandering around?
Yes.
What the hell's going on over there?
I know it. This isn't the first time we've heard this. New study shows that women now drinking almost as much as men.
Oh, yeah.
Really finding the comfort in booze.
They are. Mm. They're finally understanding what guys have figured out a long time ago, and now they're saying it's a clear trend amongst college students. So our girls enjoying the booze.
They're actually saying that males now are consuming just a little less alcohol than they used to. Women starting to get all sloshy.
It makes sense because the more women drink, the less guys have to drink, so it works out. Right. Makes sense.
Yeah. A patron at a strip club in Myrtle Beach got his ass slapped by a dancer he said needed to lose a little weight.
Well, our friend... Kyle Yeoman, he was over there at Derriere's Gentleman's Club.
Derriere's Gentleman's Club.
It's a great place in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and he had learned the hard way that dancers can be sensitive. A girl was doing a lap dance, and that's when our friend said, hey, you might need to lose a little weight there.
It doesn't go well.
She slapped the shit out of him, allegedly.
Well, Derriere's, you know, it's ass. You kind of expect
it. I think there was extra stuff there, and he didn't think. According to the report, our friend had told her that maybe a trip to the gym would be advised.
Yeah. You don't see this happen much often. Apparently that Shaz of Sunset, which you watch because the broads have big tits.
Yeah, the one who's fat, but she has the greatest tits I've ever seen. I mean, amazing. Yeah.
There's a divorce going on between two people in that show. Apparently the woman refusing to take any money and returning the ring and the whole deal.
Everything. She's got a $200,000. This girl's the perfect girl because in the divorce she wants nothing, and she's even giving back the $200,000, $4.5 carat ring. This girl is perfect, and if she's eligible for marriage, I'd like to have a chat with her.
Right.
She doesn't want anything. They were only married, to be fair, for 4 months when she walked out. And as far as the wedding gifts, it's possible that they might be able to send them back. But
nice.
she wants nothing and asks for nothing.
All right. We'll see how long she she feels that way.
Well, I'll tell you what. If she made one phone call to the Hammer, they would come a swing.
Exactly. Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
He's got nuts all over the place.
Check out the podcast, GaryDino.com.
That's
where you find it. There's a brand new show for you every single Friday. You just go to GaryAndDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
I just want someone that I can talk to.
I love you just the way you are.
She'll leave today if you